There are all kinds of people making pronouncements about Israel these days, of course, due to all the awful things that are going on over there right now, and probably have been for a long time, we just don't hear about. But the atrocities and murder of innocents and all the different ways in which some real shenanigans are going on are important. I don't think they're the end times. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think it has anything really to do with that, because I don't see all the things lining up that are necessary to line up. But just the same, the pronouncements are about the land, and a lot of people will say that the only reason Israel is once again a national entity is because of money and some shenanigans politically as well. Some dealings behind the scenes by the Rothschilds and others. Be that as it may, they also will say that the people who are in Israel are not Israel, that they are of a different ethnic or genealogical background, and so therefore that's not even the biblical Israel. One thing in that whole formula hasn't changed, and that's the land. The land may not be as extensively possessed by Israel, but it is still in the same location. And this is the land, at least part of it, that God made a covenant with Abram about many, many, many years ago. And it was, again, an unconditional promise. And it was an everlasting promise. And that promise included the land which he would show Abram. So in what sense is it Genesis 17:8 is where I would like to go, and I have arrived. It says, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants, or your seed, after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. So it wasn't just to Abram, it was to his seed. And it's always singular, but it refers to a lot of people. Given that the sure word of God stated within the boundaries of the created heavens and earth, then the boundaries given in the promise rules out that the promise has already been fulfilled. That one statement is against or in opposition to, better way to put it, a lot of things that you're hearing these days about the land. 17:8 says, I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Well, that's one of the arguments I'm hearing these days, is that Israel is as far away from God as it could possibly be. So to say something like that makes this promise contingent upon their obedience. And we've already said that there is a big difference between receiving a promise and participating in that promise. Israel is being used even in the state that they're in, and I don't mean the political state. God has used Israel in a disobedient state before this, when they called out for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, if you recall. So let me say that again, because it has a lot of weight. Given that the sure word of God, stated within the boundaries of the created heavens and earth, then the boundaries given in the promise rules out that the promise has already been fulfilled. Now, in spite of the attempts to water down either the amount of land or the force of the word olam, which is the word for everlasting or forever, according to its usage in Scripture, everlasting refers to an indefinite continuance of the specified object into the future, thus conveying the idea of endlessness. The idea of endlessness can be qualified only by the direct word of God or by the nature of the object to which the idea is applied. That comes directly from the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament, Volume 2, page 672. So regardless of any problematic behavior, questionable ethics, or moral failures on the part of the persons who have had the promise presented to them, the promise remains in force. Regardless, that doesn't keep Bible students from citing Joshua 21, 43 through 45, or Nehemiah 9:8 as saying differently. Let's read those. So the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And no one of all their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hand. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. Well, how do you argue with that? And then there's Nehemiah 9, verse 8, which says, "You found his heart faithful before you, and made a covenant with him, to give him the land of the Canaanite, of the Hittite, and of the Amorite, of the Perizzite, the Jebusite, and the Girgashite, to give it to his descendants. And you, God, have fulfilled your promise, for you are righteous." These texts clearly state that none of all the promises to the house of Israel has failed, or that not one has failed. Yet a problem remains, especially when you look into Numbers 34, 2 through 12, all the land within the boundaries of the promise was not yet conquered by Joshua or anybody else. Let's look at Joshua 13, 1 through 17, and then we're going to look at Judges 3, 1 through 4. Both of those are going to say that the land had not all been taken yet. In fact, much of it remained to be taken. So Joshua 13, 1 through 17, pretty good long passage. But it's worth reading. And of course, all the Bible's worth reading. I don't mean to imply otherwise. Joshua 13, 1 through 17, "Now Joshua was old and advanced in years when the Lord said to him, 'You are old and advanced in years, and very much of the land remains to be possessed.'" I think we could probably stop there, but "this is the land that remains, all the regions of the Philistines and all those of the Geshurites from the Shehor, which is east of Egypt, even as far as the border of Ekron to the north. It is counted as Canaanite. the five lords of the Philistines, the Gazite, the Ashdodite, and the Ashkelonite, the Gittite, and the Ekronite, and the Avite, to the south all the land of the Canaanite, and Mir-Ah, that belongs to the Sidonians, as far as Aphek, to the border of the Amorite, and the land of the Gibelite, and all of Lebanon toward the east, from Baal, God, below Mount Hermon, as far as Lebo Hamath, all the inhabitants of the hill country, from Lebanon, as far as the Mishrephoth Maim, all the Sidonians, I will drive them out from before the sons of Israel only. Allot it to Israel for an inheritance, as I have commanded to you. Now therefore apportion the land for an inheritance to the nine tribes and the half-tribe of Manasseh. While the other half-tribe, the Reubenites and the Gadites, received their inheritance, which Moses gave them beyond the Jordan to the east, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave to them from Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of Arnon, with the city which is in the middle of the valley, and all the plain of Medeba, as far as Dibon, and all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, as far as the border of the sons of Ammon, and Gilead, in the territory of the Geshurites and the Maacathites, and all Mount Hermon, and all Bashan, as far as Salaka, and all the kingdom of Og in Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth and in Edrei. He alone was left of the remnant of the Rephaim, for Moses struck them and dispossessed them. But the Israelites, the sons of Israel, did not possess the Geshurites of the Maacathites from Geshur and Maacath, Geshur and Maacath live among Israel unto this day. Only to the tribe of Levi he did not give an inheritance, the offerings by fire to the Lord, the God of Israel, are their inheritance, as he spoke to them. So Moses gave an inheritance to the tribe of the sons of Reuben according to their families. Their territory was from Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of Arnon, which is with the city which is in the middle of the valley, and all the plain by Medeba, Heshbon and all its cities which are on the plain, Dibon and Bamoth Baal, and Beth Baal Meon. Then Judges 3:1-4. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to test Israel by them, that is, all who had not experienced any of the wars of Canaan, only in order that the generations of the sons of Israel might be taught war, those who had not experienced it formerly. These nations are the five lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites, who lived in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hamon, as far as Lebo Hamath. Now, I was just reading in Exodus 22 how the Lord was going to make the taking of the land happen. He makes it very, very clear as to how it is going to proceed. This is Exodus 23, verse 20. Behold, I'm going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Be on your guard before him and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious toward him, for he will not pardon your transgression, since my name is in him. But if you truly obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you in to the land of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will completely destroy them. I'm dropping down to verse 27 then. I will send my terror, but there's a conditional section here too. Maybe I should read that. Yeah, let's do that. Verse 24. You shall not worship their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their deeds, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their sacred pillars in pieces. That's a condition. But you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst. There shall be no miscarrying or barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send terror, this is where I was going originally, ahead of you and throw into confusion all the people among whom you come. And I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. I will send hornets ahead of you so that they will drive out the Hivites, Canaanites, and the Hittites before you. I will not drive them out before you in a single year, that the land may not become desolate, and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. I will drive them out before you little by little until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. I will fix your boundary from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the wilderness to the river Euphrates, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and when you will drive them out, you shall make no covenant with them or with their gods. I actually thought I was going to get this whole thing done today, but I don't think I'm going to. I thought this was going to be the end. Every time I get into this, more things flood the brain and fit like a glove. Let's stop right there and continue this next week. And as I always end this from Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you shalom.